ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पात् सुधविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमेढ्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिताहिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। भगवान् कृष्ण इस् ट्रैङ्ग् टु इम्पार्ट् आत्मज्ञानं टु दि एण्टैर् ह्युमानिटि त्रू अर्जुन फ्रम् दि श्लोक 12 आन्वर्ड्स्। He is revealing the real nature of the individual, which is a nitya vastu, satya vastu, asanga vastu, sarvagata vastu, amruta vastu, ananda vastu. The entire purpose, the purpose of entire teaching is just to make humanity to understand that at no point of time in human life there is a need for grief. Nobody deserves grief. In the last class he told death is nothing but a change of cloth of the individual soul, jivatma. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya नवानि गृह्णाति नरोपराणि तथा शरीराणि विहाय जीर्णानि अन्यानि संयाति नवानि देही। एज लॉन्ग एज दिस देही द इंडिविजुअल सोल डजंट गेट द नॉलेज अबाउट इट रियल नेचर पुनरपि जननम पुनरपि मरणम पुनरपि जननी जटरे शयनम बर्थ एंड डेथ इज इनेविटेबल। So a person should struggle at his level best to gain this knowledge. We'll continue. Nainam chintanti shastrani nainam dahati pavakah na chainam kledayantyapo na shoshayati marutah. When the body is associated with the physical things, with the external world, naturally it is subject to death. Even while the body is subject to death, still the Atma is not subject to death. Even though Atma is intimately associated with the body, Atma doesn't get destroyed. Body is destroyed by other natural forces, five natural forces except akasha, vayu, agni, jalam, prithivi, air, fire and water and the prithivi, all destroy deha. This is the idea conveyed in this shloka. Yenam atmanam शस्त्राणि न चिन्तन्ति। दो ऑल दी नेचुरल फोर्सेस डिस्ट्रॉय बॉडी, दे कैन नॉट डिस्ट्रॉय आत्मा। शस्त्राणि हियर रिप्रेजेंट्स पृथ्वी तत्व। फ्रॉम पृथ्वी ओनली वी मेक ऑल दी वेपन्स, वेदर इट इज स्वॉर्ड और व्हाट यू कॉल गन्स, व्हाट एवर इट मे बी, इट इज फ्रॉम पृथ्वी ओनली। Prithivi cannot destroy the Atma. ஏனம் ஆத்மானம் சஸ்திராணி ந சிந்தந்தி. இட் கெனாட், இட் கேன் கட் தி பாடி, சஸ்திராணி கேன் கட் தி பாடி, பட் சஸ்திராணி கெனாட் கட் ஆத்மா. பாவகா ந தஹதி, ஃபயர் கெனாட் பர்ன். ஆபஹா ந க்ளேதயந்தி, வாட்டர்ஸ் கெனாட் டெஸ்ட்ராய் ஆத்மா. மாருதா ந சோஷயதி. These are all various methods of destruction by various natural elements. The question may come, when the body is subject to destruction, how Atma is not subject to destruction? When house is in fire, the indweller, the person who lives in the house, also is going to be destroyed by the fire. If you consider this body as the house of Atma, then how Atma is free from destruction? Nicely Shankaracharya comments, Niravayavatvat. Destruction can happen only for a thing which has parts, which has a form. And Sarva Adharatvat, the very fire, the very fire, the very waters and Agni, all are based on Atma Tattva only. According to scriptures, all are the products of Atma. So Niravayatvat, Sarva Adharatvat, being partless and being the essence of all natural forces, Atma is not subject to destruction. அச்சேத்யோயம் அதாஹ்யோயம் அக்லேத்யோ சோஷ்ய ஏவச நித்ய சர்வகத ஸ்தானுஹு அசலோயம் சநாதனஹ. Same ideas are repeated in this ஸ்லோக. We may ask why. The reason is, understanding is one thing and assimilating is another thing. An object is with so and so properties. We can understand it. But how that idea has a relevance in my life, we have to assimilate. Therefore only, for the sake of Nididhyasanam, Durbodhatvat Atmavattunaha Punah Punaha Prasangam Apadya Shabdantarena Tadeva Vattu Nirupayati Bhagavan Vasudevaha. Very, very difficult to assimilate these ideas, being subtle. Therefore, Shankaracharya writes in his commentary, Durbodhatvat. Very difficult to understand. Same thing again and again, Bhagavan Krishna is trying to explain. With what idea? Kathannu nama samsarinam avyaktam tattvam buddhi gocharatam apannam sathu. சம்சார நிவத்தையே சார் இது. ஹவு கேன் ஐ மேக் திஸ் ஹியூமனிட்டி டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் இட்ஸ் ரியல் நேச்சர்? வித் தட் ஐடியா அகெயின் அண்ட் அகெயின் பகவான் எக்ஸ்பிளைன்ஸ் த சேம் ஐடியாஸ் இன் தி ஸ்லோகா. அயம் ஆத்மா அச்சேத்யா அதாஹ்யா அக்லேத்யா அசோஷ்யா. திஸ் ஆத்மா கேனாட் burned, this Atma cannot be destroyed, this Atma cannot be dried up. Same ideas which were told in the previous shlokas. This Atma is Nityaha, infinite time wise. Sarvagataha, space wise also it is infinite. Sthanuhu, Sthanuhu means Sarvata Tishtati, changeless time wise. And achalaha, motionless, space-wise changeless. Space-wise destruction is there, space-wise changes are there. Both are negated in this shloka. Time-wise destruction is there, time-wise changes are there. Both are negated in this shloka. Nityaha and sanuhu goes to timeless destruction and changes. Atma is not affected by time. And sarvagataha achalaha goes to space wise changes and destruction. Atma is not affected by space. Then sanatanaha. Sanatanaha means ever fresh. Pura api navaha. Puranaha we saw in previous shlokas. Same idea. Sanatanaha, ever fresh. Atma is ever fresh. All the time it is single entity. Therefore it is ever fresh, free from destruction time wise and space wise. From this word only Sanatana Dharma has come. Our religion is called Sanatana Dharmaha, because whatever it is teaching, it is ever fresh. What it teaches about Dharma values, it teaches about Atma, the eternal reality. Nobody can say, I don't want values in my life. Ahimsa is a value. Nobody can deny that I don't want Ahimsa in my life. Nobody wants somebody hurting us, taking away our money, grabbing our wealth. Nobody wants it. So, Himsam na kuryat is a value taught in the scriptures. This value has a relevance only 1,000 years before, not now. Nobody can say. And Brahman also, that is Atma Tattvam also revealed in this Sanatana Dharma. Therefore, it is called Sanatana Dharma. Here in this shloka, Bhagavan says, you are immortal already. You are Nityaha, Sarvagataha, Sthanuhu, Achalaha, Sanatanaha. Therefore, you need not become immortal. From the standpoint of reality, you are already immortal. And from the standpoint of Deha, you cannot become immortal. Why immortality is connected in this shloka? The innermost urge for every living being is to live one more day. Anybody you ask, are you ready to die? He will say, one more day you give. I have to finish all my bank problems and I have to create a will to my dependents, like that. He will ask one more day time for his life. So the innermost urge of every human being is living one more day, to live eternally. Since physical eternity is not possible, ordinary human being tries to find out some local method, solution for this physical destruction. He tries to live eternally through local methods. What are they? Getting children and grandchildren, so that he feels happy. At least through my grandchildren, I am going to live. Then starting institutions and naming in his name. Then writing books, building monuments. All these actions reveal that this person wants the humanity to remember him eternally. But what is the thing happens? As even his body is taken to the chita, that is burial ground, people take snana, then they forget. Even the dependents, close dependents also, they forget. If they are little bit orthodox, they may remember once in a year. So the struggle to live eternally is expressed through all these actions. Why should I struggle to live eternally? Why don't I accept mortality? Why don't I accept death as a nice thing in my life? Nobody wants to die. Nobody accepts death as a nice thing. Because it is not a natural thing for us. It is a very, very unnatural thing. For, because the individual is in reality Atma Vastu. He is eternal. He is Shashvata Vastu. Therefore only he cannot accept Ashashvata Marana. He cannot accept the temporariness. He is a eternal personality. Therefore only he cannot accept temporariness. I am naturally and intrinsically immortal. Incidentally mortal. How a person, a thing can be both immortal and a mortal? From the standpoint of my real nature, I am intrinsically immortal. From the standpoint of my body, I am incidentally mortal. So no one complains about the natural thing. No one complains about the natural thing. A person went to a doctor, eye doctor, and he told, "Doctor, I have a problem." Then doctor told, "Please tell, what is your problem?" Patient told, "I see." "You see?" "You see, seeing is not a problem." Then he understood, maybe he may be seeing 2-2, because two eyes are there. So 2-2 images he may be seeing. "Oh, do you see two images?" "No, doctor, I see only one image." Then "What is your problem?" "I see." Then he, doctor thought, maybe he may be seeing vaguely, with lot of bloodness will be there in that sight. The cataract means vague sight will be there, image will be very vague. Then he asked, "Do you see image vaguely?" "No, I see perfectly. All images are very clear to me, and that is only one image only." "Then what is your problem?" The patient told, "I see." Then doctor understood, "Oho, I see." So he referred the patient to another department. He told, "My colleague is there, psychiatrist. You are not my patient. You cannot be my patient. My patients only those who have problem with the eyes." So if a person complains about a natural thing, he is called a madman. Nobody complains about the natural thing. Like none of us can complain, "I am seeing so much of problem." Somebody asks, "What is your problem?" "I am seeing." So nobody can complain about the natural thing. Like we don't say, "I don't know what is the reason, I am always peaceful. I don't know what is the reason, I am always healthy. I don't know what is the reason, I slept well." If you don't get sleep, then only you can complain. If you don't get peace of mind, then only you can complain. If you don't have the healthy body, then only you can complain. Because the law is, you cannot complain about natural things, you can complain about only unnatural things. The very fact, entire humanity complains about mortality, entire humanity complains about mortality, about the death. That means what? It cannot be natural one. Even our physical system don't accept unnatural foreign body, it rejects. Suppose some dust enters, body immediately recognizes, "This is not my natural part of my existence. So something has come from the outside world, it is unnatural." So tears come, or through nose sneezing comes. So the entire system, whether it is physical or mental, only natural things are accepted, unnatural things are complained. What is natural and intrinsic, we accept. What is unnatural and incidental, we reject. Since mortality, old age, pain, suffering, unhappiness are all unnatural, every living being rejects them. Since immortality, happiness, peace, intrinsic and natural, everyone wants it. To desire for peace, you should be a man of peace. You cannot desire something which you don't know at all. You cannot desire for something. Suppose I don't know one particular object in the world, how can I desire? I cannot desire about something which I don't know at all. The very fact I desire for immortality, the very fact that I desire for peace, happiness, means there must be some element in me that gave a taste because of which I have a desire to have it more and more. Then we may ask, if I have already, why I am struggling? The very fact, Shastra says, the very fact you desire shows that you have already. But the individual asks, the student asks, if I have already whatever I am searching for, then why should I struggle at all? Why should I struggle at all? The answer from the Shastra is, due to ignorance. Due to ignorance. You can desire for something, you can search, you can run towards something for two reasons. One is you don't have, therefore you are running towards it. Another is you don't understand that you are already. Like a person who is having golden necklace. He thought somebody has stolen. So he searches here and there and blames everybody who has come to his home. Then finally some third person comes and asks, what is the reason you are so much anxious? What is the reason? He says, I have lost my golden necklace. But that person shows that there is a golden necklace in your neck. So all the time when I was anxious about the loss of a golden necklace, I was having, but I don't know that I was having. This is called confusion. Atasmin tad buddhihi. Body is mortal. Body is subject to pain, suffering and mortality. But I am not mortal. I am immortal. I am not subject to pain and suffering. Because of confusion, the properties of the body is taken on me. This is called adhyasa. It is called confusion. Atasmin tad buddhihi. Atasmin tad buddhihi. Avyaktoyam achintyoyam avikaryoyam uchyate tasmadevam viditvainam nanushochitum arhasi. Bhagavan concludes the discussion that from paramarthika drishti, from atma drishti, there is no reason for grief. Nobody deserves grief in life. He says, I am atma avyaktaha, not available for sense perception, indriya agocharaha. Because sense organs can perceive properties only. It cannot perceive the substance. Ears can perceive sound, eyes can perceive forms and colors, nose can perceive smell, tongue can perceive taste, skin can perceive touch. All these are all properties. Okay, we cannot say, even science doesn't accept them as substance. Smell means smell of what? Smell of good eatable, taste of good eatable, color of good eatable. So all these are all properties of an eatable item. They are not substance. Then the question comes for all thinkers, then entire world is, because other than these five items, nothing is there in the world. Either sound, form, color, smell, taste and touch. Other than this, nothing is there in the external world. If the entire world is only properties, what is the actual substance? What is the actual substance? Only in our Sanatana Dharma, only in Vedanta, the answer we can get. That is, you, the Atma, is the substance. A simple logic. Without substance, properties cannot be there. Properties cannot hang on separately. It is properties always depend upon a thing or a substance. Shastra says, you are that substance. That means, without me, nothing should be available. Isn't it? Without me, nothing should be available. What we experience in our day-to-day life is same thing. To say something is existing, I must be there. Without me, in my absence, I cannot know something is existing as a separate entity. So, all properties can exist only in the existence of the substance who happened to be myself. Entire world, which is Shabda, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, Sparshatmakam, Jagat, is available only when I exist. But whether they are there or not, I exist, I know, separately I am existing. I don't have these properties. Ashabdham, Asparasham, Arupam, Avyayam, Dhatharasam, Nityam, Aghandavachayatu. Upanishad says, Atma is free from all these properties, free from form, color, taste, smell, sound, touch. Atma is free from all these properties. It is called Aprameyaha. No sense organ can reveal the existence of the Atma. We saw this idea. Sense organs can reveal the external world, because in front of the sense organ, this external world appears. But behind the sense organ, because of which that very sense organ can work, is myself. Since it is aprameya vastu, since atma is aprameya vastu, since I am not available for any sense perception, I am called aprameyaha, I am called achintyaha, I am inconceivable. Manasa api agocharaha. Eto vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. There are many things in our life which are not included in this perception, sense perception, like love, hatred, hunger, intelligence. These are all there. No sense organ can reveal that. But still we don't deny its existence because it can be conceived by mind. Whereas Atma is not available for mind also. Therefore only in Vedanta Shastra they say we can never meditate on the real nature of Brahman. We can never meditate on the real God. All the meditation on the only manifestation of the God, but not on the God. In manasa na manute yenahur manomatam tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yaditam upasate. We think that when we may sit for meditation, then object of meditation which comes in our mind with the form and color is Bhagavan. Here Shastra says the thing, object of your meditation cannot be Bhagavan. In manasa na manute yena ahuhu manoho matam, because of which the very mind is meditating, that is called the real nature of Brahman. That is why in our Advaita Vedanta Shastra, getting Deva Darshanam is not considered as a great achievement. Suppose a person meditates on Rama or Krishna, suddenly Bhagavan Rama comes and stands. He asks, my dear devotee, what do you want? And Shastra asks, have you seen Rama? Yes, I saw Rama. Then it is not Rama. It is the manifestation of Rama, but it is not a original Rama. And these darshans cannot give Atma Jnanam. The mind is full of purity, therefore whatever is ideas about the God takes a form and color and stands in front of his mind. That is the idea. Then avikaryaha, Atma is avikaryaha. All these ideas we have seen already. Bhagavan is summarizing all these ideas for the sake of nididhyasanam or assimilation. Avikaryaha means shatvikara rahitaha. Vikaraha means changes, six type of changes we have seen. Atma is avikaryaha, not subject to any change. Janma maranadi rahitaha. Iti uchyate, he says. From 12th shloka onwards up to this 25th shloka, 14 shlokas, Bhagavan revealed the nature of Atma or Brahman. And he himself told that it is not available for sense perception, it is not available for mind. Then we may ask a question, then if it is not available for sense perception and mind, how you know? Because Bhagavan Krishna also here is a teacher. How a teacher knows? Therefore teacher always refers to Shastra Pramana iti uchyate, thus revealed. Where it is revealed? Thus it is revealed in the Upanishads, in the scriptures. So Bhagavan wants to remind Arjuna that all these teachings are revelations of the Vedanta Shastram. Tasmad enam evam viditva, therefore having known the reality of Atma in this manner, nanu shochitum arhasi. You cannot and you should not have grief. Here, tasmat means therefore. Therefore means wherefore, kasmat. Yasmat, atma nityaha, satyaha, asangaha, shatvikara rahitaha, akarta. Since atma is satya vastu, nitya vastu, shatvikara rahita vastu, it is changeless one. Therefore, you cannot grieve over. Because the problem of Arjuna in the context is, he is thinking that I am going to be a killer, Bhishma is going to be a killed one. So I am going to be a person who is going to do killing action, and Bhishma is going to be a victim of killing action. That is the context. Therefore here Bhagavan says, You are sarvagata vastu, you are all pervasive entity, you cannot do any action. Where is the question of killing action? Bhishma the Atma is nitya vastu, where is the question of death for him? Evam viditva, having known in this manner, in what manner? You, the Atma, as infinite consciousness, different from your physical, emotional and intellectual personalities, you are Nityaha, you are Satyaha, Sarvagataha, Aprameyaha, Nirvikaraha, Asangaha, Akarta, Abhokta. Every word has a great relevance in our life. If I understand that I am an eternal thing, I will not fear for death. If I understand that I am the substratum of entire world, I will not have fear of any second entity. If I understand that I am all pervasive one, I will not have hatred towards another thing, because in my idea there is no second entity at all. If I understand I am aprameya vastu, I am not available for any form of knowledge, any objectification, I am not available for any objectification, I will never try to realize God, because I happen to be fortunately that particular God, which is the real nature, my own real nature. If I understand that I am Nirvikaraha, changeless one, I will never go to beauty parlor. How much money is spent? 40% of human economy is spent only in beauty parlor, varieties of beauties, because I am not able to accept that I am getting old. I am not able to accept my grey hairs, because I think grayness of the hair belongs to me. The wrinkles of my skin belongs to me. The losing the teeth belongs to me. All these changes are happening in the body. Since I consider myself as body, whatever changes happen to the body, I consider it as happening to me. And I am asangaha. If I understand that, I will love everyone. I will love everyone. In our day-to-day transaction, we have two types, segment: wanted, unwanted people. But nature has its own method, taking away all the wanted things from us and bringing all the unwanted things to our life. So I will be free from that suffering. Then akarta, I am never a doer. Being all-pervasive entity, I cannot do any action. So I will never claim for anything that I am responsible for it. Only when I understand this, I will have these benefits. So tasmat nanu shochitum arhasi. Bhagavan in the 12th shloka, he told, first shloka of his teaching, panditaha na anushochanti, he told. Here, evam viditva na anushochati. So knowledge is the important one in human life. Since a wise man who knows that he is the infinite consciousness, he don't have any grief, therefore you also, having known the reality, you cannot have grief. Since by grief you cannot change the facts of life, therefore also you should not have grief. By grieving, nobody can change the facts. What is the fact? Atma is immortal, Atma is Nityaha, Asangaha, Sarvagataha, Nityaha, Akarta, Abhokta. Body is Anityaha, subject to death and arrival and departure, subject to action, subject to karma phala. Then you cannot grieve at all. No one deserves grief in life from the standpoint of reality. This is the conclusion of last 14 shlokas. Atha chainam nitya jatam nityam va manyase mrutam tathapitvam mahabaho naivam shochitam arhasi. Atha, when a word atha comes in Sanskrit scripture, that means a diversion from the topic. From this shloka, another 3 shlokas, Bhagavan is going to answer for a question, hypothetical question. Suppose Arjuna, imagine,
Arjuna says, I don't accept this Atma at all. Because you have told it is not available for sense perception. You have told you cannot conceive through mind also. Then, where is this proof? You are telling because of Atma only all your sense perception and mind is working. That I don't accept at all. I am not convinced of these revelations. Because it is unknown, unseen by anybody, unproved by anyone, normal person. You say, Shastra says, Shastra says, Shastra says. I don't accept at all. What I know about myself, I exist as a person, individual, with a 5.8 inches of height, with 80 kilos of weight, and with 35 years or 40 years of age. This much only I know about myself. Do you have answer for my grief? This is my present knowledge. When I don't know from the real standpoint, which you are telling, go on telling, when I don't accept that, this very body standpoint is the real standpoint for me. Do you have answer for my question that should I have grief or not? Taking this hypothesis, suppose Arjuna doesn't accept, we are all in Arjuna's category only. Arjuna doesn't accept Atma. You know, illyo idu Atma. This much only we know. But all the time Bhagavan is talking about ourselves, but still the mind has habit of objectifying anything. Because it cannot know anything without objectification. Taking this hypothetical question, Bhagavan tries to answer. Vedantic teacher can never impose his ideas forcibly. Vedantic teacher cannot get irritated at all. Religious people will get irritation. Somebody says, Jesus is only God. If you don't accept, he will get irritated. Somebody says, Allah is the only God. If you don't accept, they may cut. Like other religious fanatics, Vedantic teacher cannot be fanatic or cannot be impatient. He cannot get irritated. Hey, so many shlokas, so many hours I have explained. But finally, with one sentence, you have simply swept away everything. You say, I don't accept, I am not convinced of. What is the way? Here, Bhagavan again is going to show some light on these teachings, tries to explain the facts of life, and encourages the student to think himself about the validity of Vedantic teachings. And there is no place for dogmas or dictums. It is not an order. Understand, Atma is, you are Atma. You cannot order. Vedantic teacher cannot order. Vedantic teacher tries to show more light. A person is suffering from a snake. And he cries, snake, snake, snake. And the entire body was respirating. Another person comes and puts the torch light, and he finds that there is no snake, actually it is rope. Seeing the rope, this person cries as snake, snake, snake. So the person who is showing the torch light, what he will do? If he is a Vedantic teacher, he will say, there is no snake, it is rope only. There is no snake, it is rope only. Other people will get beat and go away, getting irritated. Aday, repeatedly I am showing that it is rope. You are there all the time there, not accepting that. But Vedantic teacher can show more and more light for the understanding of the facts. Therefore, in this shloka, Bhagavan says, Athacha, on the other hand, if you think, Enam Atmanam Nitya Jatam. If you think that the Atma is born constantly, because you are telling that I am born on so and so date of birth. When I say I have a date of birth, that means what? I am claiming that I have a birth. So if you claim that you have a birth, or if you claim Nityam Mritam Va Manyase, if you claim that you are, if you are afraid of your death, that means what? You are claiming that you are going to die. Tathapi, even then, he Mahabaho, tvam na shochitam arhasi. you cannot have grief. Arjuna thought, from the standpoint of Atma, Krishna is telling all the time, you don't deserve grief, you don't deserve grief. Because Atma is not subject to any of these problems. But from the standpoint of body, I am subject to all these problems. So how can Krishna refute my grief? Here Bhagavan says, even from the physical standpoint also, you cannot have grief. What is the logic? Beautiful logic.
Jatasya hidruvo mrityuhu dhruvam janma mrutasya cha tasmada parihar yethe natvam shochitu marghasi.
If all of you can by heart this shloka, I consider that your coming to Gita class is fruitful. Very, very important shloka which conveys an important message for our practical life. We may not understand Vedanta. We may not even believe in Atma. But if we have this idea in our mind, a common sense idea, our life can be a happy life. What it is? Here Bhagavan says, Jatasya mrityuhu dhruvaha. Death is certain for anything which has birth. Anything which is born should die. Anything which has manufacturing date will have expiry date. No product in the world which has manufacturing date is free from expiry date. Learn to assimilate this one particular fact. By refusing to understand, by refusing to accept this fact, you cannot change the fact. By closing our eyes, we cannot make the world dark. Cats can afford to do this. Generally, cats are stealing creatures. It tries to steal. So, mother has kept milk in the kitchen. So nicely it enters and finds out the milk or curds. Then it wants to drink. There is an idea in his cat's mind that if somebody sees, certainly they will beat me. So I should avoid somebody seeing. So what is the way cat used to do? It will close the eyes and think that nobody is seeing. And it will drink. Just because you have closed your eyes, that doesn't mean the world has become dark or nobody has seen. Cats can afford this knowledge, but we cannot afford because we are human beings, intellectual beings. All the pramanas prove this fact. Pratyaksha pramana, anumana pramana, shastra pramana. What is the fact? Anything which has manufacturing date will have expiry date. So pratyaksha pramana, we see daily in obituary column. Daily we see obituary column. Obituary column means there is a column in newspaper wherein dead and gone are remembered. When seeing, we read it as an information. We are comfortable that it is not going to be for me. In the same obituary column, my photo also is going to come. Ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti yamalayam sheshaha thavaram icchanti kimaascharyam atasparam. Yudhishthira was asked by Yaksha. Mahabharata it comes, Yaksha Prashna. What is the greatest wonder in human life? Yudhishthira says, daily people see death. In their front of their eyes they see death. Ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti yamalayam. Yamalaya means death. Abode of the yama means death. But still, sheshaha, balanced people, thavaram icchanti, they want to live permanently. Kimaascharyam atasparam. In spite of, see, some snake comes means we run. But death comes means we don't run. Every moment death is there. Every moment death is there, but happily we have forgotten. That is also Bhagavan's grace only. If you remember every day death, what will happen? We cannot do any other Vyavahara, we cannot fulfill our small, small desires. Desire for ice cream, desire for some small things. Out of compassion, Bhagavan has kept that forgetfulness. But that forgetfulness doesn't mean it should be absolute forgetfulness. Once in a while, I have to sit quietly and take stock. Where I was, to which place I have come, koham kuta ayataha, kame janani, kome tataha. So all these higher truths are remembered once in a while. Pratyaksha pramana shows that death is a inevitable end of every individual, not only every individual, anything in the world. Then anumana pramana says, anything which is produced will get destroyed. Yadu kritakam tadu anityam kritakatvat ghatavat. This is called anumana, logic. Whatever is produced will get destroyed because it is produced. Like a pot. Pot is produced. One day or the other day this pot is going to break. Similarly, this body also is a product of pancha bhuta. Therefore only it is called pancha bhautikam. So when it breaks, it goes back to the five natural forces. Then Shastra Pramana also says, tad yatha iha karmachito lokaha kshiyate evameva amutra punyachita lokaha api kshiyate. Like in this world, whatever we have gained through our self effort, through our actions, is spent, is going to be destroyed. Similarly, the punyachita lokaha means the loka, the world which we have earned by our punya karmas, which is unseen. About unseen only Shastra can talk. So that world also is going to be destroyed. Whether we understand it or not, whether we accept it or not, that fact remains self-evident. Fact is a fact because it is self-evident. It doesn't depend upon our acceptance or understanding. Many people don't understand that there is no phenomenon called sunrise. Many, 99%, only few scientists understand that there is no phenomenon called sunrise at all. But what we do in our day-to-day life? Daily we see sunrise, sunset. Just because we see sunrise and sunset, the fact that there is no sunrise and sunset doesn't get changed. So, it is a fact, therefore it is self-evident. So the law is, jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu. Mrityuhu dhruvaha. It is universal. Even for the incarnations. Bhagavan Krishna's body is not available now. And in Puranas, you will come across, all Rakshasas will do lot of tapas, standing in one leg, raising one hand, without taking any food, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 10,000 years, like that. Then after the completion, Brahmaji or Bhagavan will come, "Oh devotee, what do you want?" Invariably, this Bhakta will ask, "Oh Bhagavan, give me the boon that I should be immortal." Then Bhagavan will say, "It is not possible. Even omnipotent Lord, I cannot give you immortality for your physical form." Because when he says, "I should be immortal," he considers himself as physical form only. Therefore, no, not possible. Then the Rakshasa will find out some method. I should not be killed inside the room. I should not be killed outside the room. I should not be killed on this up above the sky. I should not be killed on the earth. I should not be killed by weapons. I should not be killed by guns. Like that, so many conditions he will put. He has done already 10,000 years of tapasya. So whatever he asks that Bhagavan has to give, the Bhagavan says, "I cannot give only one thing. What it is? Immortality for your body I cannot give. Your death is inevitable. Death for the body is inevitable." So this man tries to find out so many things. Then he thinks, "Appa, I have closed all the loopholes." Because death can come either inside the room or outside the room. Either up above the sky, on the earth, either by weapon or by some other individual. So like that, he thinks that I have covered all the loopholes. So now I am immortal. Bhagavan will see whether he has covered all the loopholes or there are some loopholes. After confirming that there are some loopholes, he will say, Tathastu. He will say, Tathastu, not like us. He is a Sarvajna, he knows how many loopholes are there. So our Hiranyakashipu asked this boon. Bhagavan told, Tathastu. How he was killed, neither inside the room, nor outside the room, or sitting on the door sill. Neither on the earth, nor on the sky, keeping Hiranyakashipu on his lap. Then neither by weapon, nor by astras or shastras, they call. Two types of weapon, astras or shastras. Holding weapon is called a shastra. Leaving weapon like arrows are called astras. So he used his own nails. Neither morning nor night, evening. So Bhagavan knows what is the loophole. Like Ravana also asked, I should not be killed by yaksha, so many. But he forgot to remember human being and monkey. Bhagavan saw there is a loophole, human being, monkey. Okay, Tathastu. So what does it show? According to Purana is a scripture. According to scripture also, physical immortality is not possible. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuho. Whether it is the body of an ordinary person, or a body of a great tapasvi rakshasa, or a body of even incarnation of the Lord, no body or nobody can survive eternally, physically. You may give certain names. If ordinary person dies, he'll say he has passed away. He has gone to heavens. This fellow doesn't know where is Shivaloka. He will write in a paper, obituary column, he has reached Shivaloka. How he knows? How he knows that he has reached Shivaloka or Yamaloka? We take it for granted that my father is a good person, therefore Shiva Bhakta, therefore he might have gone to Shivaloka. If a sannyasi or jnani dies, we won't call it death. We call it Mahasamadhi. We don't call it death. We call it Mahasamadhi. If incarnation dies, we don't call it death. We say Swargarohanam. So names may differ. What does it mean? Any physical form has to get destroyed. There is no other way from this physical destruction. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuho. We don't mind applying this law with regard to others. We read in paper, newspaper. In Kashmir, so many people died. In Pakistan, so many people died because of earthquake. Like that. Oh, jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuho. We accept with regard to others' death, but we don't accept our own physical death or the death of our own near and dear ones. All of us are great philosophers when it does not affect this body. An unassimilated knowledge, a mere information, cannot help our life, day-to-day life. So this knowledge should be assimilated. What is that knowledge? Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuho. Destruction is inevitable for anything which has originated. Then another standpoint is dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. What we call as the destruction is nothing but going back to the causal form. A part is destroyed, that means what? It is not destroyed actually, it has gone to its causal form called mud. Because there is a law of conservation. You cannot destroy anything. It changes its name and it changes its form. So anything is there in causal form will come back to manifested form. Anything is there in manifested form will go back to causal form. Therefore, jatasya hi dhruvam mrityuho, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. There is no eternal destruction. Body comes from Panchabhuta and goes back to Panchabhutas. Like other Semitic religion. Semitic religions means our Islam and Christianity. They have only one birth. They don't accept many births, only one birth. And the person dies. After their death, the person has to wait eternally up to the judgment day. I'm just comparing. I'm not criticizing any religion. I'm just comparing with the ideas of Sanatana Dharma. So they have to wait eternally or up to the judgment day. After judgment, so somebody will be asked to go to heaven, somebody will be asked to go to hell, depending upon the certificate given by the parish priest of the religious person. The person will be getting either eternal heaven or eternal hell. This idea is not accepted in our scriptures. One birth, one death, eternal waiting for judgment day, eternal hell, eternal heavens are rejected by even science and our scriptures. The lesson is, accept birth, death as intrinsic part of physical life. Tasmat, therefore, aparihariye arthe, with regard to choiceless, with regard to inevitable, you cannot have grief. Arjuna asked, hypothetically, it was assumed, from the standpoint of Atma, I don't have destruction or birth. I don't have grief also. Since I don't accept the very existence of Atma, from the standpoint of body, do you have any answer for my question that whether should I have grief or not? Here Bhagavan says, from this physical standpoint also, you cannot have grief because physical body is subject to birth and death. It is a fact. Inevitable fact. When something is a fact, you cannot grieve over that fact. Because by grieving, you cannot change the fact. Therefore, very very important tasmat this is. Tam shochitum na hargasi, you cannot grieve. With regard to choiceless, only one response is considered as a sane one. Acceptance is the only proper thing to do with regard to choiceless. Accept the choiceless without grumbling. Accept with understanding that it is choiceless. Accept with understanding that it is choiceless, that it is inevitable. Then there will not be any grumbling. Non-acceptance cannot change the situation since it is, you already told, it is choiceless. Even Bhagavan cannot change certain choiceless situation like birth, death, old age, etc. Therefore, understand the fact and accept the choiceless. If you are not yet prepared, suppose somebody says, I understand that fact, but I am not able to accept it. Then you say, you are not yet understood. A thing which cannot be changed is called fact. When you yourself say that thing is a fact, how can you try to change it? So, contradictory words are there. If you are not yet prepared for happy acceptance, nobody can help you. You have to go through, repeatedly you have to see the fact. That is, birth is inevitable, death is inevitable. Since birth is inevitable, death is inevitable. Since death is inevitable, birth also is inevitable. It is a cyclic process. Even Bhagavan cannot remove our sorrow. Learn to prepare for accepting the choiceless. Try to understand the fact, argue with the fact, meditate on this fact, and finally assimilate the fact. There is a prayer. O Lord, please give me the strength to accept the choiceless. O Lord, please give me the strength to change choiceful situation. And more importantly, O Lord, please give me the discrimination to know which situation is choiceless, which situation is choiceful. Instead of praying to change the choiceless, pray for strength to accept the choiceless. Pray for wisdom to see things as it is. Human life is choiceless in many aspects. Entire past is choiceless. So we cannot have grief at all regarding past. Because by having grief you cannot change it because it is already past. Our parentage, our childhood, insults, these are all past. So So you cannot go on, think about it and grumble, grumble, grumble and get sorrow. Then present also is choiceless, because it is already present in front of you. You cannot change it. Only you have choice with regard to future. And with regard to future also, many things are choiceless. Old age is choiceless. Death is choiceless. Separation from others, choiceless. Changing external situation also not possible. Only one thing where you have full freedom to change is your own understanding. That's what Vedanta says. Your own understanding, that field only you have full freedom to change. You can change your understanding. You can change your ignorance. You can change your superimpositions. You can change your adhyasa, and you can become a wise man. Here only we have, entire humanity has full freedom. Gaining wisdom is the only choiceful situation. All other things, external happening, with regard to something we have little bit of freedom. With regard to many things we don't have freedom at all, with regard to external world. But with regard to my internal world, which is governed by my understanding, I have 100% choice. Therefore, Bhagavan here says, being birth and death are choiceless situations with regard to physical personality. From that standpoint also, you cannot have grief. Entire purpose of Vedanta Shastra is to make humanity a happy person. A person must be happy. Entire aim of Vedantic teaching is, no situation in your life you can have grief. You must be a happy person, because it is your real nature. You happen to be the very happiness because of certain wrong understanding, prejudices and adhyasa. You appears to have unhappiness. Even while you are crying, Vedanta will say you are ananda swarupaha. You are crying, but Vedanta will say you are ananda swarupaha, even while crying. So that is the purpose of Vedanta. More and more details you will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmani Pranada Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.